Say one more Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. You can sit down. If you just listen for a minute before we start to read through it, then we'll get to it. We've arrived at a very important moment of the consecration where we're going to be speaking about and meditating upon how much Jesus and Mary loved us, and that's manifested by how much they suffered. Now, at the very end of the life of Jesus, he suffered so much that he sweat blood for us. That's pretty rare. When someone actually sweats blood. Then even more, they stripped him and they took a stick and they took what is called the Roman flagellum and they whipped him. And if you saw the film of Mel Gibson, some of you saw the film of The Passion of Christ, I mean, it's a tough film, but it's very real. Okay, very real. The film of Mel Gibson presents Mary present watching the scourging with Mary Magdalene. And after Jesus is unbound, Claudia, who is the spouse of Pontius Pilate, had a dream, and she gives the towel so that the Blessed Mother can wipe out the blood of Jesus that he shed. Then, after that, Jesus suffered so much that he was crowned with thorns. So, they were able to get these thorns and weave it into a crown, and then they pressed it into his head. And most likely, one or two of the thorns actually pierced to his very brain. So some of those thorns were pretty big. See, if you look at a thorn bush, some of the thorns are small, but others are big. Some others are giant. And some of those thorns are really, they're very sharp. Very sharp. So Jesus suffered that. Then, after Jesus was condemned to death, he had to carry a heavy cross. And he had to ascend Calvary, Mount Calvary. Now in the film of Mel Gibson also, we see that Jesus is carrying the cross, but the Blessed Mother is walking side by side. If you go into the church, you're going to see the stations of the cross. The fourth station of the cross is when Jesus actually sees his mother. They meet each other. So we're called to reflect upon what would have happened in the heart of Mary when she saw Jesus carrying the cross, knowing that shortly after that, he was going to be crucified. Then finally, Jesus is crucified, and his mother sees him crucified. Try to imagine that you're condemned to death, and your mother was witnessing you being nailed to the cross. Your hands and your feet. I don't think any of your mothers would be strong enough to bear that. I was with my mother on Mother's Day. I was in New Hampshire, and I love my mom. And I think my mom loves me a lot, but I don't think she'd be strong enough to see me crucified. I don't think so. Maybe. My mother's pretty strong, even though she's 87 years old. But I don't think that she'd be strong enough to see one of her nine children crucified. But the Blessed Mother saw Jesus crucified. And not only that, but she stood underneath the cross for 3 long hours, seeing the blood, that she gave the blood to Jesus, because the human nature, the body of Jesus, was given through the person of Mary. So the blood that she gave him, she saw trickling down to the ground. And some of the artists depict Mary as swooning and fainting and entering into an emotional tirade, you know, where she's kind of losing it. That's not true. Mary was not a stoic, which means without any emotions. But Mary, in Latin, is stabat mater. She stood at the foot of the cross for 3 hours. Now, Catholic Mariology teaches that Mary is the co-redemptrix. You know what that is? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you. Co-redemptrix means this, that Jesus is the only Redeemer. Redeem means He saved us. But Mary collaborated, which means Mary worked with Jesus for the salvation of our souls. So we have to tell Jesus, thank you for dying for us, but also we have to tell Mary, thank you, Mary, for being willing to suffer with Jesus to the very end for our salvation. Now, Mary, underneath the cross, Jesus spoke seven times. They're called the seven last words, which were, I thirst. Second word, my God, why have you forsaken me? Third word, said to the thief, amen, I say to you, today you'll be with me in heaven. But then, as he looked down, he saw those two people who he loved most. And they were his mother Mary and his best friend. And his best friend was St. John. And he said to his mother and to his best friend, he said to his best friend, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. And from that moment, John the disciple took Mary into his home. So in the person of St. John was present all of us. So from that moment on, Mary became our spiritual mother from the cross. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus knew that you would be listening to me right now. And he knew that I was going to be speaking about the fact that you have two mothers. You have your natural mother, and you have your supernatural mother. Now maybe this sounds kind of mushy to you, but obviously your mother loves you a lot. She's probably the person that loves you most in the world with your dad. Your mother loves you a lot. But listen to this. St. Augustine says this. Put all the love of all the mothers of all times together, the love that Mary has for you is much greater than that. Incredible, isn't it? It brings tears to my eyes. Put all the love of all the mothers of all time together, the love that Mary has for you is much greater. And it's true. So before reading this, most of the students right here, most are Mexican. Or second generation Mexican. Right? Almost all of you. And I think you ought to be proud. You know why? Proud because you had one of the greatest apparitions of the whole universe come to your country in the year 1531. And that's Our Lady Guadalupe. Our Lady Guadalupe, she came to Mexico. And the reason why all of you are Catholics is because of Our Lady Guadalupe. Yes. It's true. Before 1531, very few Catholics in Mexico. Aztec Indians, they're offering some of the babies to the sun god, if you read Mexican history. So Our Lady Guadalupe comes, and in 30 years, you got 8 million converts. Never has there been such a massive conversion in the history of the world as in Mexico. So, you should be proud. So if anyone ever asks you, what is your heritage? Say, well, my grandmother's from Mexico, probably your mom too. But you know what's so great about Mexico? Is Our Lady of Guadalupe. And then you should be able to talk nonstop about Our Lady of Guadalupe. As Fernando did when he came to visit us. Right, Ophelia? She has to be able to talk so much about Our Lady Guadalupe. I really believe your mission as Mexicans is you have to make Our Lady Guadalupe loved. Amen? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I'll tell you a funny story. About 20 years ago, I was visiting homes in Hawaiian Garden before you were born. And I was knocking on doors, and this lady let me come in. And I was there with my missionary team and a visitor. And the visitor only spoke English. And I looked up at the wall, I saw a clock on the wall. It was a clock of Our Lady Guadalupe. And the visitor, who only spoke English, asked the lady, who was from Michoacan, okay? You've heard of Michoacan, right? Do you know who that is? And she said, hey, Our Lady Guadalupe. And the visitor said, well, do you know much about it? Well, she appeared in the flowers in Juan Diego. Anything more? No. And the visitor went on and was explaining to her about Our Lady Guadalupe. And I was translating. And the visitor was talking for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, a half hour about Our Lady Guadalupe. And I was translating. You know who the visitor was? My mother. Kind of ironic, huh? She's going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And my mother loves Our Lady Guadalupe. But the lady there from Michoacan didn't know anything about Our Lady Guadalupe. It's kind of funny. I thought it should be the other way around. So you're called to be the modern missionaries of Our Lady Guadalupe. Amen? Amen? So if it weren't for Our Lady Guadalupe, you wouldn't be here today. And if it weren't for Jesus dying on the cross with Mary underneath the cross, you know, none of us would go to heaven. We'd all go to hell. You hear that? I don't think any of us want to go to hell. The reason why remember Adam and Eve. The gates of heaven were closed. Adam and Eve. They were closed. For many, many years. And what happened? Jesus comes and His Father wants to show us He loves us so much by dying on the cross. See, if you look at His arms, the gates of heaven were closed, Adam and Eve. Jesus dying on the cross, the gates of heaven were open. And who was underneath the cross? The Blessed Mother. I don't know about you people, but I love this topic of Mary. That's why I wrote this for you people. I love this topic because I really believe if you take this seriously, if you take this seriously, all of you are going to go to heaven. That's why we're here. You're going to go to heaven if you love Mary. If you love Mary, you keep praying to, even though maybe if you commit a million sins, I hope you don't, and if you turn to Mary, Mary can help you at the end of your life to say, Jesus, I'm sorry, have mercy on me. Even if it's at the end of your life, Mary's going to be there. The devil's going to be there too. Hey, don't forget, the devil never goes on vacation, huh? He never goes on vacation. We do. He doesn't. He's always going after us. But Mary's more powerful. Much more powerful. So this week, you have the opportunity to do some meditations on something that's tough. You're going to be meditating upon the sorrows of Mary. Mary suffered so much. But she suffered for two reasons. For love of God and for love of you. Yep. She died for all of us. For love of God and for love of us. You know, your confirmation, you should be thankful and proud that you're coming to confirmation class because a lot of the kids in school, they don't even believe in God. Maybe you saw the movie, God Is Not Dead. They don't even believe in God. And you believe in God, don't you? How privileged you are. So be thankful. But especially be thankful that Mary loves you. But all the love of all the mothers of all time together, love, Mary loves you much more. And you too. And you too. And me too. And the catechist too. That should give us, I think, a lot of peace and joy. Right, Yolanda? That should give us just a lot of peace and joy, a lot of trust. You know someone really loves you, that gives you a lot of security, right? Gives you security. My life is tough, but there are two people that really love me. Maybe mom and dad, but now you know Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. They're invisible, but they're real. Because your thoughts are invisible, right? But they're real, right? Your breathing, isn't that invisible? It's real. Maybe you don't see them, but they're real as your mirror in the face in the morning. They're real. So, you have to try to do your part then. Are any of you trying to do a little bit of meditation? Uh-oh. Even if it's 5 minutes. Hello? Any of you? None of the girls? A few of the boys? No? Because I told you, it depends on you. Okay? Depends on you trying to spend a little bit of time. And once you do it and you start to talk to Mary, it's going to change your life. Now, our biggest obstacle, obviously, is laziness, right? Say no. We're lazy. We're born lazy. We're lazy. But if you love Mary, she can help us overcome our laziness. Never forget, we got one life to live. And life goes by very quickly. Very quickly. Often thought, Joe, already 40 years when I graduated from the university. Seemed like yesterday. 40 years have gone by when I graduated from the university. Seems like yesterday. How fast time goes by. So let's not waste our life, but let's give our life to Jesus and Mary. Amen? Okay. So let's get into this. It's a tough topic. It's a tough topic, but if we really want to do these exercises well, we have to confront the reality of how much Jesus and Mary suffered for us, especially on Good Friday. And as Joe said earlier, don't go back and look at the answer sheet, or rather the fill-ins. We'll arrive at that. Just follow me. We'll arrive at it. So we'll take one page at a time, one paragraph at a time, one sentence at a time. Okay? Okay, the picture is a picture of Our Lady of Sorrows. Mary weeping at the foot of the cross, seeing Jesus suffer so much for us. Okay, Mary and her seven sorrows, love at its best. True love for another goes the whole way. Joys and sorrows. You ever hear the expression, a fair-weathered friend? That's a good one. A fair-weathered friend is one who is only with you when the sun is shining. The birds are singing. The fragrant spring flowers permeate all of nature. However, when the storms descend, the winds batter, and the cold rain comes down in buckets, that fair weather friend takes off for the hills and leaves you in the lurch. All of this is an introduction in our journey towards consecrating ourselves totally to Jesus through Mary. Our desire to be with Mary in good times and in bad, in health and in sickness, in joys and in sorrows. In a word, we want to accompany Our Lady even in the midst of her most cruel and excruciating sufferings. Indeed, true friends are there in our joys, but also in our pain and sorrows. Seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. By saying yes to the angel in the moment of the Annunciation, Mary also said yes to participating in the total life of Jesus, her Son and our Savior. This meant that Our Lady would share in the many joys of the life of Jesus, but also in His intense sufferings. And this meditation, preparation for our consecration to Jesus through Mary, we will focus upon just three of the seven sorrows of Mary. We'll be begging for the grace to get to know both Jesus and Mary in a very serious and profound way, so the moments of suffering that they both underwent for the salvation of the human race, and for you and for me. Therefore, let us beg for the grace to enter into the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary, so as to plumb the incredible depths of love that she has for Jesus and she has for us. Pause for a moment in prayer and beg for this grace. Okay, so we look at the picture, and it's a very painful picture. You can see Mary in prayer. She's surrounded by light because she's holy. But what do you see? You see a sword, and that sword is going through the heart of Mary. The first sorrow is the prophecy of Simeon. Try now to be present in the sorrow of Mary. Prophet Simeon takes the child Jesus in his arms and makes this prophecy while speaking to Mary. This is from the Bible now. The words of Simeon. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and for the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And your own soul a sword shall pierce, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Okay, just be aware, when is this happening? Okay, Jesus is a baby. He's 40 days old. They go up to the temple. This old man, who's been waiting for Jesus for many, many years, sees Mary and Joseph with the baby, and he recognized, even though he probably saw hundreds of babies, that that is a special baby that came to save the world. And he takes the baby in his arms, and he says that through your heart a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many will be revealed. So this is 40 days after Jesus is born. This is when your mom is probably coming to the church with little baby Jesus and place little baby Jesus there at the foot of the altar. I'm sure your mother has done that. Maybe you came with your mother a couple of times. It's the 2nd of February, which is actually 40 days after Christmas. So this is the first of the sorrows of Mary, in which Jesus is 40 days old. Or the prophet is saying, you know, you're going to suffer. And the prophecy is going to come true 33 years later, when Jesus is nailed to the cross and when that soldier goes with the sword, and the sword goes through the heart of Jesus, and blood and water comes out. Now, this prophecy was made 33 years before it happened. That's the context. Okay, what did this prophecy of Simeon mean? Quite simply, and to the point, Mary would be ready and willing to suffer in union with Jesus. his painful sorrows and sufferings during the course of his entire life. However, most especially, Our Lady of Sorrows would be willing to be present physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually during the passion and death of Jesus, the Savior. Spend now some time in silence reflecting on Mary's intense sorrow and sufferings. Talk to Our Lady about this. Now open up your own heart to Mary. Tell her about some of the sorrows and sufferings that you have experienced in the course of your life. Mary is always ready and anxious to listen to you and enter into dialogue with you. I think that's very important. We all have sufferings. Might be physical sufferings, might be emotional sufferings, and might be mental sufferings, might be social sufferings, might be moral sufferings. There are many ways we can suffer. It's not simply you got a headache. But emotional suffering, you feel insecure. Mental suffering, you're worrying. Social suffering, you don't maybe get along well with someone at school. Cultural suffering, maybe you feel kind of like a fish out of water. So suffering goes way beyond the headache you might have. But the key is, you want to talk to Mary about these sufferings. Listen. Has it ever happened? You had something that was really worrying you. And you went and you opened up to someone, maybe it was your mother, and you told your mother about this problem. And maybe you're talking for 5, 10, 15 minutes. Then after you talk for 15 minutes, your mom said, "I understand." And she gave you a hug. She said, "It's really not that bad. You'll be able to overcome it." And your mom gave you a hug. We'll say a prayer together, and you went to bed, and you had total peace. It happened to you, I think. You want to do that to Mary. So next time you have some type of suffering, open up and talk to Mary, maybe the way you talk with your mother. Try it. It works. You never try, it's not going to work, but try to do it. So instead of being really nervous and tense and somewhat depressed, we live with peace and joy. That's going to happen. A lot of peace and joy. You know, this person really loves us and has a Blessed Mother. Okay? Okay, now. When you were small, maybe you were 2 or 3 years old. Did it ever happen? Maybe you were in a mall or a store, supermarket, hopefully not in Dodger Stadium or Disneyland, but you got lost. Ever happen? Ever happened to you guys? How did your mom or dad react to that? Probably almost went crazy, right? Maybe in this huge mall, some of these malls are pretty big, and your mom turns around and, "Where's my daughter that's 3 years old? She can't find you." She goes crazy. Then after 5 minutes, there you are, you're behind one of those shelves there, and you're looking at a comic book or something, okay? And your mom grabs onto you, and she's crying, "I thought I'd never find you again." That could have been your mom's first heart attack. Maybe, right? I think it's happened to all of them. Not that you did it on purpose. Kids are curious. They wander. You know, they don't always want to follow in the footsteps of the mother, the mom. Ah. Now, what's going to happen eventually to Jesus, Mary's going to lose him for 3 days. Can you imagine that? Not 1 hour, but 3 days. So that's going to be sorrow we're going to be getting into after the second sorrow. But just have that in mind. You know, losing a little child for 5 minutes is one thing, but losing a child for 3 days, in which he didn't drink or eat the whole time, looking, trying to find him among the relatives and friends. What a sorrow. Okay, but here's another one. What happened if you're in the car and you're driving, all of a sudden, right behind you, you turn around and you have a little brother there, 3 years old, and you got a group of the cholos with guns and knives, and they're following you in the car. And you're driving down the back street, and then there's another car of cholos. They got guns and knives. They want to get you, and they want to get your little brother. How do you think your mom and dad are going to feel? Happy? And you don't have your phone to call the police. Wow. That's what we're going to read now. We got soldiers from a very wicked king, and his name was Herod, who sends these soldiers out to go after Jesus so they can slit his throat. Yep. That's this mystery. Because that's what they did. You see those pictures there in Google. You see these little babies taken from their mothers and slitting their throats or stabbing them. This is called the flight of Egypt. And Jesus had to flee in the arms of Jesus and Mary and Joseph because this wicked King Herod, who was jealous and fearful, wanted to get rid of all the children because they heard from the kings that another king was born. That king was Jesus Christ. Can you imagine Mary traveling from Nazareth to Egypt or Bethlehem to Egypt, fearing that these soldiers were going to catch up and grab onto Jesus and kill him with the sword? Mary thought about this. You know, we think that the gospel is kind of pretty with ice cream and cake. Gospel, serious stuff. And that's what happens with abortion, right? Isn't abortion killing babies? Hello? You learned that already, right? And so it's kind of related to the abortion industry where they're killing innocent babies. Every 20 seconds, yeah. The United States. Yeah. So it's good idea to kind of pray over this and see how this affects our modern world. What's happening in our modern world. Let's read. So you can see the picture. Who's that man in the picture? Any of you know? Okay. Who's the woman? Okay, and who does she have with her? Okay. And see, she's riding, looks like a donkey, right? So they're heading toward Egypt. How would you like it if you heard a message from an angel that said, go right away, go to LAX, and they want you to go off and get in a parachute and drop in Iraq or Syria? Would you like that? Pretty dangerous place, right? So they were going to a country that didn't like the Jews at all. They actually hated the Jews. And that's what the angel told St. Joseph to take the baby Jesus into Egypt. What a mystery. But God watched over them. And they had to go to a place that was very dangerous. Sometimes God tells us to do certain things that aren't very pleasant. So, let's read on. Once again, we desire to enter the sorrowful heart of Mary, the mother of Jesus and our mother. In this sorrow, we encounter a very evil and wicked king whose name is Herod. Not Harold, but Herod, okay? He is fearful that another young king will dethrone him and take his place. This king is Jesus. Herod plans to kill the baby Jesus. He expected the Magi, the wise men, to notify him exactly where the child was. However, the Magi were warned in a dream not to tell Herod, and they took a different route home. Infuriated, Herod determines to kill all the little baby boys, 2 years and younger, in and around Bethlehem. And sends soldiers to massacre these innocent children. He does this to secure his authority and power as king. That very night, good Saint Joseph has a dream to get up and flee with Jesus and Mary to Egypt for the salvation and security of the little baby Jesus. This Saint Joseph does without delay. Now it is your turn. Try to enter into the scene and into the great sorrow that Mary must have experienced. Imagine Mary getting up during the night and bundling up the little baby Jesus, possibly thinking that the sword of sorrow prophesied by Simeon was about to become a reality. The wicked king's soldiers would get hold of Jesus and brutally murder him. Try to enter into the mind and heart of Mary in these most intense moments. What do you think were her thoughts and her feelings? Pause now to think of these and enter into conversation with Mary, a lady of sorrows. Okay, so due to lack of time, what I want to do now is I want to jump over now to the worksheet. As I just explained, the third one, when Jesus was lost, 3 days in the temple. And let's see if we can get through the questions, because there are quite a few. Are you there? Good. Okay. Now we're ready to answer. You ready? A fair weather friend is one who is only with you when the sun is shining and the birds are chirping, or they're singing, right? Chirping too. Are you a fair weather friend? You know what? When you have your friend has a party, you're great, but your friend that goes to the hospital, you don't want to go there, huh? Hopefully not. The party, fine. Go to the hospital too. Otherwise, you're a fair weather friend, huh? So we want to be faithful to Jesus and Mary in their joy, but also in their sufferings. That's the purpose this week. And if you learn how to do this, you're going to be kind and loving to people too. You're going to be rejoicing with people, but also you're going to be able to suffer with people. Number two, when the storms descend, the winds batter, and the cold rain comes down in buckets, that fair weather friend takes off for the hills and leaves you in the lurch. Go to the party, but not to the funeral, right? Number three. Got it?
Sure.
That's true. True friends are there in our joys, but also in our Pain and sorrows. Good. Pain and sorrows. Number four. In our journey towards consecrating ourselves totally to who?
Jesus.
Jesus through who?
Mary.
Our desire to be with Mary in good times and in bad. In health and in sickness. In joys and in sorrows. One day some of you are going to say that on the day of your wedding. Those are the wedding vows that two spouses say with each other. By saying yes to the angel in the moment of the... Well, you meditated upon that 2 weeks ago. Begins with an A. Annunciation. Mary said yes to participating in the... in the total life of Jesus. Her son and our Savior in the many joys of the life of Jesus, but also in his intense sufferings. What was one of those joys that Mary and Jesus experienced in the luminous mystery? It was the second luminous mystery. It was kind of like a nice celebration. Remember the wedding feast of Cana? Remember that? That was a moment of joy. This couple, Mary, Jesus, and Mary were there. Okay, we will focus upon just three of the what? Seven sorrows of Mary. We'll beg for the grace to get to know both Jesus and Mary in a very serious and profound way through the moments of suffering that they both underwent for the... got it? Salvation that they underwent of the human race and for what? For you and for me. For you and for me. So they suffered for you. Really be thankful that they suffered so much for you and for me. Number seven. Let us beg for the grace to enter into the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary so as to plumb the incredible depths of love that she has for Jesus and she has for us. Good. For us. First sorrow of Mary. Is the what? Okay, it's the prophecy of, how do we pronounce that name? Is it Simon? Okay, Simeon. Pronounce prophecy of Simeon in Spanish, Simeon. Okay, Simeon. Okay, number eight, the prophet. How do you pronounce it? The prophet who?
Simeon.
Simeon. takes the child Jesus into his arms and makes this prophecy while speaking to who?
Mary.
Behold, this child is destined for the fall and for the rise of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And your own soul, sword shall pierce that the thoughts of many hearts may be what? Revealed. What does this mean? Mary would be ready and willing to suffer in union with who? Jesus. His painful sorrows and sufferings during the course of his His entire life. However, most especially during his passion and death. Open up your heart to Mary and tell her about some of the sorrows, good. And what else? Sorrows and sufferings that you have experienced in the course of your life. Mary is always ready to and anxious to. Someone said it. Listen, good. To listen to you and enter into. Kind of a bigger word. You ever hear the word dialogue? Enter, you know, dialogue means enter into conversation, okay? But the word that we want is dialogue. Dialogue with you. Okay, second sorrow is the flight into Egypt. In this sorrow, we encounter a very, what? Evil and what else? Wicked. Evil and wicked king, whose name is not Harold. It's Herod. Okay, Herod. H-E-R-O-D. A lot of people call him Harold. No, it's Herod. Herod. He is fearful that another young king will dethrone him and take his place. This king is who? Jesus. Therefore, Herod plans to kill the baby Jesus. 12. Herod expected the Magi, who are also called the three kings, but we call them the wise men. But you're right, the three kings, to notify him exactly where the child was. However, the Magi were warned in what? In a dream. Not to tell, what was that wicked man's name? Herod. And they took a different route home. 13. Infuriated. What does that word infuriated mean? Do you know what that means? A little mad or a lot mad?
A lot.
Yeah, infuriated means you're really, really, really angry, no? That's a strong word. Infuriated. Herod determines to kill all the little baby boys, how old?
2 years.
2 years. And what?
Younger.
And younger. In and around, where was Jesus born? How do you say it? Bethlehem. You know how to spell that? Good spellers? Sound it out. Beth, B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M. It's easier in Spanish, Rogers Belen, huh? A big word in English. And send his soldiers to massacre these innocent children. That very night, good Saint Joseph has a to get up and flee with who? Jesus and Mary to Egypt for the salvation and security of the little baby Jesus. This saint does without good, oh, the word is, you're right, but without delay is the word we're looking for. Without delay. It's a good word, hesitation, too. Try to enter into this scene and into the great sorrow that Mary saw, that Mary must have experienced. Imagine Mary getting up during the night and bundling up the little baby Jesus, possibly thinking that the... Someone said it. Good, the sword of sorrow prophesied by Simeon was about to become a reality, that wicked king's soldiers would get hold of Jesus and brutally murder him. What do you think were Mary's thoughts and feelings? Pause now to think on these and enter into well, conversation with Mary, Our Lady of what? Sorrows. Tell Mary how you want to comfort her. Third sorrow. Child Jesus lost for 3 long days. Try to call to mind an experience where a mother, possibly your mother, lost you or one of your siblings for a short time. Now turn to who? Mary and who else? Saint who? Saint Joseph. They totally lost Jesus for how long? 3 long days. Imagine that. Accompany Mary in her search for Jesus among the relatives and friends and other pilgrims. Relatives and friends and other pilgrims who are returning to their homes after the Paschal festivities. 19. Imagine the great sorrow of Mary. Try to speak to her and to console her sorrowful heart. A spiritual interpretation. When someone commits what's a really bad sin? A mortal sin. Then he or she loses who? In the very temple of his or her heart. This also causes Mary, Our Lady of Sorrows, to suffer intensely. 21. Turn to Mary and beg for the grace to live in the state of grace so as never to lose the Lord Jesus in the temple of your heart. Never to lose the Lord Jesus in the temple of your heart. If unfortunately you do lose Jesus due to mortal sin, then turn to Mary and beg for the grace of true sorrow for your sin and return to the love of God by means of a good sacramental confession. Good. Okay, finally, as you console the sorrowful heart of Mary, beg her for the grace to discover and to find who? In your life constantly. Beg, O Lady, for the eyes of a mystic so that you can find God in persons, places, things, and in all the circumstances, all the circumstances of your life, and also even through your crosses and swords of sorrow. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. And your last announcement?
Okay, pay close attention. We would recommend that if you have not confessed over the last 4 weeks, you do so over the next 2 days prior to Saturday, okay?